The final round of the Restore Your Fertility Group program is opening December 4. Get on top of it, ladies. Let's start thinking about the new year. Let's start putting ourselves first. Let's start thinking about what we really, really want. Stop with the fear. Make the decision. You want to recover. If you feel like you're beating around the bush, if you feel like you're avoiding, if you're in quasi-recovery, if you're just missing important advice and guidance and you just don't have the answers and you need help, that's what we do. Our last round of the Restore program just finished up about 2 weeks ago. 100% success rate. Everybody got their goal. Everybody reached their goal. I'm so proud of that. This group is just getting better and better. So you're 100% going to want to join. I just know it in my gut that this is the year for you. So you're just not going to want to sleep on it. You don't want to get to the end of 2025 and be like, oh my gosh, I should have just done the thing and taken the advice and gotten the help. Let's just bite the bullet. Let's get the work done. Let's go through all of the facts. Let's come up with a plan specific to you. And let's meet every week for 10 weeks until you get the job done. That's our goal with you. Head to thehasociety.com/restore-live. That's thehasociety.com/restore-live. And apply for the program and you and I can chat and figure out if this is a good move for you, if it's the right place for you, and move forward if getting your period back and getting pregnant by the end of 2025 is your goal.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician.
Okay, good morning, beautiful people. You might be wondering why I sound so different, and you're right. I have gotten sick from my little one. So this actually works out great because we have Megan back here, which I'm pretty sure she's been on the show the most, possibly. I'll have to go back and look at everything. But you know, like when you're like, I'm tired of hearing Ashley tell me about the salad rule. Like, it's kind of like when you're like, I don't want to hear it from my mom. I don't want to hear it from my dad, but I will listen to my aunt. So in the spirit of this, we're having Megan answer some questions that I've gotten in my DMs. And then I'm just follow up with my two cents because your girl can't stop talking. But all right, Megan, are you ready?
I'm so ready. I am so stoked to be answering listener questions. This is like a secret dream of mine.
Hey, y'all, I did her so dirty because I didn't even send her the questions ahead of time. So this is like real life rapid fire. Okay. So the question that was sent is, hey, is it possible to fully recover from HA even in perimenopause period? So pausing, what is perimenopause period? This could actually be anything from like 40 on. I think 40 is technically a little bit low, but then you'll have people be like, it's called early menopause. I'm like, calm down, everybody, you know. I do question early menopause. Like, are you just on the HA spectrum? So before I can confirm or deny that you're in early menopause, I need to see your labs because you could be like, oh, I have an irregular period. I must be in early menopause. But no, you're just on the HA spectrum because you're still dieting and overexercising, right? Okay, so that's what she meant by that. I have very low ovarian reserve, AMH, and I've been told that one of my ovaries might be, what is that word? Atrophic? Not like, you know, like when it shrinks.
Atrophy.
Yeah, but I think she
I'm
spelled it a
trying
little
to
bit different.
say, pronounce the word correctly too, but like, yeah, like when your muscle like atrophy.
Yeah, atrophies. Due to chemo in 2020. Y'all, I really just dished up the most intense question to Megan, known to mankind. We got perimenopause, we got chemo in 2020. Woo! Okay. I've started eating way more, but got a light bleed back, but haven't ovulated naturally yet in almost a year. I wonder if this is even possible for me.
Yeah,
Megan,
that's,
I just unloaded a mama jamma on you.
you know, that is a great question. That is very nuanced. There's many levels to this, and I'll let you handle any of the more like technical, like lab side of things. But from my perspective, and I like to think I'm an honorary coach just because I've been around the space for like 2.5 years now. And I remember one time Ashley told me what's great about being a coach is like you have this 10,000 foot view level of just like all these other women's stories. And so just being in the HA community and society for 2.5 years, I feel like I've seen a lot of different women's stories. So I'm coming from that perspective. But I'm really glad that she added in the fact that once she started eating more, she got a light bleed. So that's actually your body giving you a clue that you're on the right path. And I know because of the chemo that that adds a extra layer to it, but I personally believe that it's still possible. And one of the other things we need to know, because again, with these questions, we don't know their full life story and all the details, but it's like, what does your daily life look like? Are you still exercising a ton? And when you say that you're eating more, what exactly does that mean? But honestly, I would take that sign that your body gave you and I would keep going down the path. It's interesting because us HAers, we're willing to try anything under the moon, under the sun, except weight gain. Like I had the same exact thoughts. I didn't even have as complicated of a history of like chemo and this and that. I was your standard HA case of overexercising, undereating. But even before I made the decision to go all in, of course, I always had the thoughts of, well, what happens if I try this, if I gain all this weight and it doesn't work, then I'm gonna be real pissed. I'm gonna be in this body that I don't wanna be in all for nothing. But if you tell me to try a weird supplement concoction, or you tell me to exercise even harder or eat even less, yeah, absolutely. I will give that a go without even a second thought. But it's always the path to gaining weight. We're like, you know, guys, I don't think this is possible. This is just not gonna work for me. And I
Totally.
think.
I always say that if I told you to eat watermelon while doing handstand push-ups and counting backwards, you'd be like, okay, I'll start practicing right now. Like, you know, like if it was some weird thing like that that was going to heal you, like we would always go that direction first. Like, always be like, sweet. All right. And then on top of it, I'll balance a pony on my feet. I could totally do that. You know what I mean? Like, we're so down for these different things. So, again, to your point, we don't have a lot of her history, but I would say that if you have been through chemo, you potentially probably lost weight just from the side effects of chemo, you know, like in general, or just the stress of having cancer or the side of, you know what I mean? And I'm sure like any in true HA or fashion, we're like, we're going to heal this with food, which I'm not mocking that. Like, I just know that that's the direction I would go down. And I'm sure there was a lots of food being cut out and therefore calories. So I'm not saying that you should or should not have cut out certain foods. Like, I don't even know if you did, but I would imagine that that resulted in a caloric drop. You know what I mean? And so I think like this is kind of like one of those situations where some of our people don't come to us from a diet and exercise. They're just like, I have really bad digestive issues and I've been on this really restrictive diet and then I developed HA. And so it's not always like this clear cut and dry, right? And so I would imagine if 4 years afterwards, you're not cycling, you know, I would get your labs done. And then to even confirm perimenopause, like we would have to see labs really jump, but like you would have to have multiple labs, like probably like every other month, maybe every 3 months to really try to capture perimenopause, you know what I mean? Being that like estrogen was low, now it's high, now it's low, like FSH is high, FSH is low. You know, we would have to be able to track this instability. But if your AMH is low, AMH is commonly low whenever women have HA because you don't have any FSH or LH really pumping, and you know, like your estrogen is low. And so therefore it is natural for your AMH to tank while having HA. So the AMH actually really lines up with HA. The fact that she started eating more and had a light bleed, that lines up with HA, right? You know what I mean? And so the perimenopause, I mean, I've had multiple women, which is starting to become my new favorite demographic to work with, is the between like the 40 and like 50 year olds that are like, screw this. I am getting my last 10 years of ovulating before I hit menopause, because this bone density thing is something that I'm no longer messing around with. And so I've seen many women who come in the perimenopause, but their labs really line up with HA instead of perimenopause or menopause, regain and ovulate. So it sounds like it's very possible that you are on the HA spectrum and you're probably like a solid 2 cookies away from ovulating.
You know
what I mean?
And I remember one of the women in the society, she was 48 years old and she recovered her period, ovulated again. And just to add on to what you were saying about the bone density, because I think it's hard if you're past the stage of wanting to have kids for that to be the motivating factor. But I'd also think about it from even more of a health perspective. It's not just the bone density. It's also protecting your heart and your brain health because, you know, you're protecting yourself from like dementia, Alzheimer's. And like, I personally have a family history where women in my family get dementia, and it's, that seems like the worst type of like, you could get stuck in. And so I think sometimes we forget even about that health side of things, because we all feel like, oh, we're invincible, like everything's great. And then you don't realize something bad can happen with your health until it does. And you don't want to be at like 60 plus years old and be like, man, I really wish I would have buckled down. The other thing I'll add in is I think we're all afraid to recover as well, because our biggest fear is that we always jump to like the absolute worst case scenario. And in our minds, the worst case scenario is we're going to recover, and we're going to recover in this like obese body that we just won't be able to move, do life. No one's going to love us anymore. And honestly, like everyone knows, I had an extreme recovery story. And to be honest, that worst fear came true for a little bit.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is our bodies don't want to live in the extreme. They don't want to live in the extreme of being underweight. They don't want to live in the extreme of being overweight. Like, your body truly wants to find a happy medium. And I can promise you that once you recover, like, you will be in a happy medium place. It won't be a scary, extreme place. And also, depending on how your quality of life is now, like, your quality of life afterwards will be so much better. So just more options to go down the recovery path.
So even just kind of going on a tangent, because what else is this for if it's not for tangents? So I was listening to this OBGYN who is really championing menopause care. And naturally, I don't agree 100% with her. But I feel like if you only listen to the people that you agree with, you are going to be stuck in a vacuum and you're never going to be able to realize, what do I believe for myself, blah, 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 all these things. So that's why it's important to listen to some people that you don't fully agree with. And plus, honestly, I don't fully agree with anybody. So hello, you know what I mean? But with that being said, she was talking about how now this is in the menopause. Okay. So this is like your ovaries are not turning back on. And they were just talking about how the further away, and like, this is to not, well, I don't know, maybe it should scare a little bit of people. I don't know. The further away that you are from like estrogen, having your own estrogen, they're talking about how like there's this ideal time to, and now before I say this, I actually don't have an opinion on this yet because I haven't heard many sides to this. And like, I'm just starting to tip my toe into it. And like, again, I want to think for myself. And so this is just like data collecting, right? So I'm listening to someone who is pro HRT in the menopause years. Now there's some people out there that are like, you shouldn't need it. Menopause is natural. It is natural. You know what I mean? It is part of aging. I'm totally on board with that too. And then also, but seeing my mom, granted, she lived a very stressful life and that matters going into menopause. I was like, wow, she is just like suffering and there's nobody there to help her. Nobody's helping her. So just kind of like having these two sides anyways, but she was saying that the further away that you are from estrogen, like how many years that you have actually stopped ovulating, there's this ideal window of time to actually do it in order to reap the protective benefits of estrogen. And I would imagine progesterone and all these things that we see, meaning that, that, you know, like she was talking about like women who wait like X amount of years past menopause don't have that same protective health in terms of the success rate, meaning that, like, you know, like there was a study that basically women who were on HRT in menopause, their risk for cardiovascular like issues went down by 50%. But they didn't, but like they weren't able to see that for the women who it was like 10 years, 11 years, 15 years, and then started HRT. So what they are hypothesizing, so guys, I'm not saying this, don't take this as absolutes, right? Is that there is a protective mechanism about it that if disease sets in, it doesn't have that same effect as if you would have had estrogen in those 5 years after actually being in menopause, which is a year without your period. Anyway, so I share all that to say, you know what I mean? If you're in perimenopause age, aka above 40, holy crap. Like, you better be doing everything you can to start ovulating, because they were talking about how even, which I do know this to be true, that urinary tract infections for females is actually like very dangerous whenever you're older. And I was really shocked by this. I was like, what? Like, why? It's just a urinary tract infection. Like, I don't know, drink some cranberry juice and get over it, right? But in like the elderly, it's not that. It's actually a really, really high risk. And she was saying that estrogen, that the loss of estrogen is what causes that in these older women, like in nursing homes or stuff like that. Like, it's an actual serious thing. So if you talk to anybody who's in like elderly care, they'll let you know that like urinary tract infections are a serious thing. Do you know what helps with that? Estrogen. Estrogen does. And so I don't know. It just kind of got my mind spinning of like, I'm not at this place where whether I could say that I would do HRT in menopause or not. But I think for right now, it means that your girl is ovulating to up until the last day, and I'm not missing one. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not happening. Like there's no size that I could get to now that would persuade me to set up the rest of my life for absolutely like massive symptoms. You know what I mean? Like, just like, there's no need to go into early menopause when you're 30 or 20 and be and go that long without ovulating and then hit menopause. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, oh, nope. Nope on a rope. Nope, 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 no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's my rant.
And I think that's when you just have to be honest with yourself. Like, are you choosing health or your body size? And yeah. If you make the choice for your body size, at least just be honest with yourself at that
yeah. point. You know what I mean? And just know that a very rough road is coming for your later years in life. Like, it's not if and like, it's an absolute rough road. Very rough. Very, very, very rough. And ain't nobody going to care about what size you were when you were 30. Nobody's going to care. Like, when you have a broken hip at 30 or a broken hip at 50, ain't nobody caring what size you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a side rant. Okay. Well, let's move on.
Hey, do you need hella ideas on what to even eat? Is what am I even supposed to eat a question on your mind? Curiosity, uncertainty, lack of clarity around what are actually meals that help you get your period back, right? What does it mean to eat nourishing meals? What does it mean to eat, quote, normal? All of these things are super common questions we get all the time. So our team has put together the best meal ideas guide for recovery that you have ever seen, if you've ever even seen one. So head to thehasociety.com/meal ideas to download it. It's totally free, a little gift for you just to help end the confusion. I hope you guys enjoy it. That's thehasociety.com/meal guide and enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay. Hello. I believe I may be on the path in the direction towards HA and I want to nip it in the butt before it actually happens to me. Yes. That's what we're talking about. My last period was 2 to 3 days on June 22nd of barely any blood and it was all completely brown. I haven't had a period since then and this was in August. So her last period was like in June, at the end of June, and now it's August. So it's been around 48 days. I'm extremely active. I currently have been trying to increase my calories between 2,400 and 2,800 and decrease my overall activity. I was doing running concurrent with CrossFit, and I feel that I may have impacted my CNS negatively. I hope you can help me.
This is a great question. I love the foresight into this. So one thing's for sure is when you have a light bleed and a standard, like what's considered like a normal bleed is at least 3 days, but you have one heavy day, one medium, one light. So first off, we know that her estrogen is already low just by having that super light bleed, and then that would confirm that it's been 48 days later and she still hasn't had another period.
Yeah. And you're like, brown blood is like old blood, like it's like old uterine lining. And just for reference, like, you know, like you should probably have an array of a color red in like your period, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be all the same, but generally it should be like a deep red, you know what I mean? I don't know, I've been using a cup, so I'm really acquainted with it now these days.
I still, Side tangent, I'm still a little scared to try a cup just because my fear is what happens if it gets too full? How are you getting it out without it becoming messy?
So I don't, I have a pretty heavy period and I haven't had a point where my cup was so full that it was an actual issue. And I feel like you kind of know it. Like, I feel like you, like, you'll feel the sensation like, wait, I have a cup in and I just felt a little bit of a gush. That's concerning. You know what I mean? You're like, ugh. You know what I mean? Which is interesting because then, like, I've realized that, well, I mean, sometimes I'm like, no, I felt something, but then, like, there's nothing in my pants. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just saying,
and a blush.
You work from home. You should try it whenever you're at home.
I know. I will. I'll get the courage to try. But anywho.
You should give us a review whenever. I mean, not that, like, we're invested, but at this point, Mishi just sent me how, who's Jelly Roll's wife? Ex-bunny? I don't know. I'm, like, really dating myself. She free bleeds, but more in, like, a diaper.
Okay.
While on tour.
That's a whole nother topic. Free bleeding.
Bro, it's a whole other topic.
Yeah,
that'll be okay, getting back to
another podcast of just discussing how the nuances and the details of how that works.
Yes. Okay. You're right. Get back on track.
But back to the question. So again, what's tough is what I realize is when people don't give specifics of, like, I work out this many times a week, like when words are used like extreme, a lot, like that's so subjective and that means so many different things to so many other people. And like, again, I get it that we're not going to have all the details here, but she did mention that she's doing CrossFit and running. And so CrossFit is considered more of like a high intensity workout than it is a true like lower intensity, like pure like strength training workout. So I wouldn't be surprised if you are doing a mixture of CrossFit and running. Yeah, that's a lot of high intensity on your body. And so it probably is really stressing it out. And honestly, like that's probably not even the most beneficial for your body. Like pick one or the other, like pick running, pick CrossFit, and then do like true lower intensity, like heavy strength training workout, and you'll get way better results than just doing high intensity 24/7. But back to her question of how she can nip this in the bud. I mean, at this point, I don't know if she needs to go into a full all-in just because she is catching this so early on. What I, again, would recommend is start experimenting. That's what's like great about all of this, especially if you're not in like full HA yet, is, and when people are adding exercise back in after recovery, is like look at everything as a big experiment plan. Because I think what happens and what gets us into trouble is when we get so rigid and stuck in a routine and we're not willing to change anything. So if I were her, what I would do is I would pull back either. And again, I don't know how much running you're doing, how many days of CrossFit, but I honestly would probably pull back from one or the other. Because as you guys always say, it's like take something out of the equation, wait a couple weeks, see if you're seeing any positive signs. If you're not, pull something out even further. So it's like what that would look like is, you know what? I've decided running's more important to me than CrossFit. So I'm going to completely stop CrossFit and I'm going to keep my running at the same of 2 or 3 days a week. I'm going to increase my calories to at least 2,500 plus, or at least honoring my hunger cues. Like if I'm hungry, I will continue eating and I won't restrict myself anymore. Wait, sit there for 2 weeks to 4 weeks. If you're still not seeing positive signs, getting another bleed, then you may need to cut out exercise altogether and keep increasing your food intake until you see those positive signs and get your period back.
Absolutely. So I love your methodical approach because it's like, yes, like we can experiment but that doesn't mean that we don't have a method. You know what I mean? You don't experiment one day and switch it up the next day because you don't like the way you feel, right? Okay, so. Sorry, I had a massive cough. Okay, so we kind of talked about that her period, like basically it's not so much the length, but like the lack of blood in general, the color of the blood. We kind of already know that her estrogen, obviously it's already been 48 days and this was in August and now it's September. So we can imagine it's another, like, I don't know, 60 days or something like that, right? So clearly her estrogen is low and her body is struggling to ovulate. And she is probably right. She probably caught the very, very last cycle before she went completely into HA, right? So yes. And then she said, I'm extremely active the same way that you. When people say I'm extremely active, that's because they don't want to list out what they actually do. Because then you're like, ugh, I already know that this is the issue. So I'm just going to like sum it up and call it extremely active. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like one hint, right? I'm extremely active, right? And I've currently been trying to increase my calories, which is great. Totally. Absolutely. But I think if you're increasing your calories and still being extremely active, then you already have your answer that it's not working. You know what I mean? That we need to pull back. And so she did, you know, she said, I did decrease my overall activity. And so this honestly sounds like me because I was like CrossFitting, I don't know, 5 days a week, lifting and then doing additional lifting 4 days a week and then doing a recovery hike, active recovery hike of like between 5 to 10 miles, guys, on like one of the days, right? So with that being said, the amount that we have to decrease is never going to be in your comfort wheelhouse. Never. So if you're at this place where like, yeah, I just slightly decreased, you know what I mean? Because then like you wouldn't really even have this problem. Like you would have decreased it, increased your food and your period would have came back and everything would have been great and you wouldn't be reaching out. You know what I mean? So generally you probably have to continue to increase food and continue to even decrease. What's interesting is that every single person who is like, just don't touch my workouts. Just don't touch it. I'll eat a little bit more, but don't touch my workouts. I've noticed that there will be like, what if it's just like my nervous system? Yes, it is your nervous system and your energy deficit. It's still an energy deficit. I'm not saying that your nervous system isn't being impacted because when you're training that much and you're still under eating for your body, AKA, yes, you may be eating 2800 and the chick next to you may be like on struggle bus on 1200 calories. And you're like, oh my gosh, I eat double the amount of her. But if it was enough for your own system, you would already have ovulated. You would be ovulating, but because it's not enough for your system at your activity level, you're not ovulating. Right. And like you haven't had a period. Right. So like we can already know. And that in itself is stressful. So yeah, that is going to fire up your central nervous system. It is not going to do anything positive for your central nervous system. This is where it gets tricky, where they're like, okay, well, I'll just address my central nervous system. Yes. But that's not going to turn your period back on. Like your central nervous system taking a hit is a result of our under eating and over exercising. You know what I mean? So like you can't just add in a ROM wad or like, you know, ask Wanda and be like, woo, gotta get my period back. I mean, trust me, I did it. I did those exact things. Like I know who you are. It's me. You know what I mean? So that's what I would say is that like you probably need to reduce even further and increase your food even more, and then see how your body responds.
Yeah. And I do want to add in, I know the biggest fear about reducing exercise or taking it out completely is there's a false belief that this means once I stop exercising, I can never start again. Like I'll never be able to run again, I'll never be able to do whatever the workout is. Or you're also afraid that once you stop doing this rigorous routine, that you won't have the motivation to start it up again. And
yes.
And the whole point of recovery is this is going to be an uncomfortable process where you do need to examine your workout routine, just how you're living your life, your routines that you have in place, and really dig through them and see what is truly serving you and what is not. And I'm always a big proponent of cutting out exercise, at least for a little bit, because that allows you to really have a fresh restart. And I'm sure other women are gonna have the same thoughts that I did, where when I was working out in HA, I always had to continually do more. Cause I took progressive overload to a whole new level where it's like, oh, I always have to be moving a little bit more than I was the previous day so that I continue to be burning calories, be in this calorie deficit. And so I think what's really great about cutting out exercise altogether is you can really hit that reset button and come back to exercise in a way healthier manner. And I also have one plug for another podcast that I think does a really good job about talking about exercising and eliciting a response from your body by doing the least amount of exercise possible. And that's the Mind Pump podcast. Mm-hmm. Like you say, Ashley, where it's like, you don't 100% agree with everything they're saying, but yeah. What I 100% am on board with them is they always talk about do the least amount of movement possible to elicit a response. So let's say you stop exercise altogether. All right. Once you want to add it back in, don't jump right back to 5 days a week. Why? Cause then you have nowhere to go from there. It's okay, I want to add exercise back in. I'm going to start off with 1 to 2 days a week. See how my body is doing there. And then, oh, I have way more room then to add on more days if I would like to, or if you find out oh, hey, I do 2 good weightlifting sessions a week. And actually I'm getting a good response from my body. I'm going to stay right here. But it's that mentality of less is more. And I think that's SHAers in our minds. It's no, more is always better. And obviously it's not.
Well, and the other thing really is that, so I love your journey. You completely cut it out, and therefore you were able to really build back so intentionally, so intentionally. And you were able to feel ooh, when am I invited to slip into obsession? When am I invited to slip into, just because I did it yesterday, I should do it today. Sorry, y'all. You were invited into yesterday I did 6 miles. So that means that today I should do 7 miles, and really be able to be hold on. That's how I used to think. It's still inviting, but it doesn't make sense. Right. And so I do think that having that time to build back intentionally, you know what I mean? And also, whether you scale back so drastic to your Ashley, I'm only walking and doing 3 days of weights, slow weights, is that you are able to see how much busy work you were just doing before? How much was busy work? How much was serving an impulse? How much of it was obsession? How much was it of oh, well, my friend's going to the gym, so I should go to the gym. That means just because your friend's going to the gym, that means something about you. No, actually, it doesn't. You know what I mean? And then we're actually able to throttle back and see at what point did you go over this edge to where you were starting to get diminished returns for your effort. You know what I mean? To the point of this, I think it's just something to explore and being hey, actually, if I, they talk about this all the time with the elite power lifters and stuff like that, to where they train heavy, maybe 3
to 2 times per week. And they're getting stronger. And so that, along that same part of like mind pump of like, they're not sitting there crushing the gym every single day, because recovery is just as essential to progress and muscle building as it is working out. You know what I mean? Like, recovery is a workout. It should be programmed in. It should be just as valued. And I think in the hustle culture of like CrossFit specifically, just because I was there too, you know what I mean? Like, recovery is seen as ice baths or taking a supplement or sleeping, but so is actually giving your that specific muscle group a break. And that's the one of the things that CrossFit is not great at. And you can't tell me that they are. They're not. You'll be sitting there and doing like 50 to 100 ring dips, right? And then go and sit there and turn around the next day and do bench press. Like, stop. Stop. You, like, we all know that is not ideal programming. We know this to be true. But we love the community. We love the endorphins. And so we wind up doing a lot of not logical things to be part of communities.
Yep, 100%. The one other thing that I would recommend, because she talks about what should I be doing to help get my period back. I think one thing we don't talk about enough is do the inner work as well. And what that looks like is, because typically if we're extremely active, we always want to be moving. That typically means like we don't want to sit with our thoughts. And you have to figure out what are you running from? Like, we're all running from something as HAers, and we don't want to sit there and just have it be quiet and still with our thoughts. And so what I would do is intentionally sitting and doing nothing. And that's going to feel really hard, really uncomfortable, because we always want to be going, even if we are like, oh, I work from home and stuff, but are you constantly like cleaning or organizing something? But if you can really sit there and start journaling and asking yourself the tough questions of like, what am I running from? What am I avoiding? And also, what does it mean to me to be seen as the active person or be seen as the small person? And what do you feel like it would mean if you did stop exercising or if you were in a larger body? And it's not only that, but then it's challenging those thoughts as well. So if you start writing out, oh, well, if I gain any weight at all, no one's going to love me anymore. Is that really true? Do you really think your friends, family, perhaps partner isn't going to love you anymore if you gain weight? And I would challenge those thoughts. And also, part of doing the work is sitting in these uncomfortable feelings, seeing the scale go up, and doing nothing about it. And then living each day and realizing that you will survive life if you gain weight. Nothing bad is going to happen. And that our feelings are like waves that roll in and out. And we don't always have to take an action whenever an uncomfortable feeling comes up. And it's okay to sit in that feeling and just ride the wave. And of course, you can, you know, do something that's healthy for you. Like, maybe you like to read a book, watch your favorite show, make your favorite meal for dinner to make yourself feel better. But it doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to go harder at the gym. I'm going to run extra miles and like pound my body because I have these uncomfortable feelings because I'm having this bad body image day. And if you're able to get to a place where you don't need to be constantly trying to fix your body, then you will be able to methodically add exercise back in from a healthy place, because you're not trying to recomp your body ASAP. You're okay sitting in a body that maybe you don't love, and knowing that it's a journey and it's going to take time, and coming at it from that slow, steady, methodical, healthy approach.
Absolutely. We want to be busy with all the things that are endorphin producing, which isn't wrong. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? But it's really not endorphin producing to sit there and be like, okay, who am I outside of my body? Who am I if I'm not the fit girl? Who am I if I walked into the gym and nobody knew anything about me, or nobody looked over and was like, dang, she's jacked, or dang, she's lean, or oh, she's so strong. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, there's lots to be doing, I promise, outside of that. So I love that you provided some things that she can actually be doing and things that are meaningful. And honestly, like, you could be like, screw that, I'm not doing that. And like, that's fine. Life will circle you back around to this. Don't worry. It'll circle back around, because HA recovery is, you know, like I say it all the time, and maybe it's not the best sales tagline, but HA recovery is doing all the things that you knew you should have been doing and having to do them all at once in order to heal. I knew I should have been taking more rest days. Well, now you're going to have to. I knew I should have been eating more fats or more carbs. You know what I mean? You're going to be doing that now. I knew I shouldn't have been like caught up in my body composition or let it be my identity and person. We're going to work through that now. So it's really just all the things that like you've been avoiding, and the bill is due, baby. The bill is due, and you're going to have to pay it.
100.
You know? Oh, I mean, I'm like upset for myself.
Oh, trust me. That's like what I used to think about a lot, is if I would have just taken care of my body from day one, I wouldn't have had this like horrific recovery journey that I had to go through.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And so just an encouragement of like, if you're like, should I handle this now, bro? It's going to happen regardless. Like, it's happening. You know what I mean? So you can either get in front of it, or like, it's going to happen. You know,
I'm encouraged that she's already reaching out and has
this support. Was, right? So good. Like, she's like, hey, I'm like noticing this change. Okay. Well, I love this. Honestly, Megan, thank you so much. I mean, I threw you a massive doozy, but I feel like you addressed the root cause, way not to get like distracted by the symptoms, and you really went for the root on that first one. Woo! So I'm glad. Hopefully this means that you're coming back for more.
Yes. Yeah. No, I absolutely love always talking to you. I love my HA ladies. So today has been a blast. Oh, I do have to say, my eyes got wide when you started reading that first question, but you know what? We survived. See, that just shows that you can survive any tough situation or curveball that is thrown at you.
Yeah, I probably should have started off with the first one, because I was like, I meant the second one, because that's definitely in your wheelhouse, but not for the faint of heart.
No,
all right, beautiful people. You have a beautiful day. And Megan, anything else that you want to leave the people with?
No, I think I laid it all out on the table. My biggest thing is, don't be worried. Don't be scared. Your body knows what it's doing, and I promise it will find a happy medium. I promise you.
Yes. Yes. All right. I love that. Okay. Well, if you want your questions answered with Megan and I will bring Megan back. Just go ahead and head over to my DMs or to my email. My email is probably better, but my DMs, just know that I'm going to like mark it, and then we'll get back to it. But absolutely. Okay. Everybody, live your life and ovulate.
Bye now.
Bye.
Hey there. It's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So TempDrop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.